Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, police in Derry and Strabane have had a busy 24 hours dealing with a range of incidents, including disorderly behaviour at Altna Galvin Hospital and an assault on them in Castle Derg. A Donegal doctor says he would prefer if money spent on initiatives to have people on waiting lists treated in Northern Ireland were invested instead in Letterkenny University Hospital. Waste collectors who discovered a rough sleeper in an industrial bin in Letterkenny earlier this week have been praised for their vigilance. And a Donegal deputy is calling for Ireland's triple lock system to be retained in order to protect Irish neutrality. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Mark Gallagher at about 5:15, followed by farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. First news though, the man who died in a drowning tragedy in Donegal this week has been named locally as Valery Strunhar, a native of Ukraine. Mr. Strunhar, who was in his 60s, got into difficulty in Marmalin on Monday evening. Having left Ukraine, he had been living at Bunbeg House in Gidor. A service will be held tomorrow evening in Dunloe. It's been a busy 24 hours for police in Derry and Strabane. Among a string of incidents saw a man charged with sexual assault following an incident at Altna Galvin Hospital yesterday evening, while a woman has been charged with assaulting police. Donal Kavanagh has more.
A 32-year-old man is due before Derry Magistrates Court tomorrow following an incident last night at Altna Galvin Hospital. He's charged with disorderly behaviour, criminal damage and sexual assault. Earlier today, searches were carried out in the city in connection with disorder in the Naylor's Row area on August 10th. A number of items were seized and three boys, one aged 10, two aged 13, were arrested. They've since been released on bail. Elsewhere, a 48-year-old woman has been charged with assaulting police in Castle Derg after an incident last evening. She's due before Strabane Magistrates Court on October 3rd. Finally, a man was arrested and a vehicle seized following a police chase in Derry this morning. After failing to stop for police, the motorist continued driving through the Creggan area where the vehicle mounted a curb. The vehicle eventually came to a stop and the driver was subsequently arrested and handed a penalty notice.
The Justice Minister has become the latest in government to say religious orders should contribute to any potential redress scheme for victims of abuse at schools run by orders. Earlier this week, details of a scoping inquiry found there were around 2,400 allegations of abuse involving more than 800 alleged abusers. A commission of investigation will now take place while Gardaí are appealing for victims to come forward. Minister Helen McEntee says the inquiries need to be carried out.
The religious orders and those who are involved here, they must put their hand up and come forward. It shouldn't be the case that they're asked. They should form part of any redress scheme, but that all has to be worked through. There's a clear recommendation in the scoping inquiry that was published by Minister Foley only this week, but we need to look at the recommendation.
Stormont's ministers have today agreed a proposed programme for government. It's to be presented to the Assembly on Monday. Deputy First Minister Emma Little-Pengelly was asked why it took so long for it to be drawn up.
Look, from the outset, we said very clearly that we wanted to be a First Minister and Deputy First Minister that delivered for the people of Northern Ireland. Yes, there are difficulties. There will always be differences across the political parties. That will take time in terms of meeting a consensus.
A Donegal doctor says he would prefer if money spent on initiatives to have people on waiting lists treated in Northern Ireland were invested in Letterkenny University Hospital instead. In its pre-budget submission, the Irish Medical Organisation says population growth means pressures on the health service will intensify as well. Dr Dennis McCauley, IMO President, says the government must invest more wisely in the health service, particularly in terms of the education and training of doctors in hospitals. He was speaking earlier on today's 9 till noon show.
There aren't enough training programmes. There's non-training posts. If you walk onto a ward, there will be the junior doctor. Some of them will be on a training programme which will be escalating to become a senior SHO registrar and maybe a consultant if they decide to stay in Ireland. But the other group, no, there is no training programme. And that is bad. That's disrespectful. As a union representative, that's disrespectful to them. Also, there has to be issues that that person is not learning on the job. There's always the begging bowl out. We need more this, we need more that. But I do think that we have to get real. 15% of the population is over 65. Now, in 2031, which isn't that far away, 20% will be half of all beds in any hospital are occupied by people over 65. Mm-hmm. So the more 65-year-olds there are, the more need for hospital beds at the very least. And it's just that we look at Letterkenny, the waiting lists are very long. A lot of people on the waiting list are now being processed through the system in Northern Ireland. If we hadn't got that system, the waiting list would be greater. My personal view is that money that's been spent in Northern Ireland should be spent in Letterkenny.
Waste collectors who discovered a rough sleeper in an industrial bin in Letterkenny earlier this week have been praised for their vigilance. Panda workers found the man asleep as they were doing their collection round on Tuesday morning. Councillor Dermot Monagle says the incident highlights further the need to tackle homelessness in Donegal. He says while there is a strong homeless action plan on paper for the county, the services simply aren't there to enforce it.
It's a growing phenomenon here in Donegal. We haven't got enough houses. We haven't got enough support services. We have a fairly good homeless action plan, but we haven't been given the resources to implement it in the way that it should be. We have no emergency accommodation. Any that we have is full to capacity. We haven't been building houses for over 15 years. We're slowly getting there, but it will be another number of years before there's any houses available that will address the issue that we have in housing at the minute.
Yeah, but I mean, someone like this, would they not benefit from the offer of a hotel room, for an example?
Yeah, and there is that scheme where homeless vouchers be offered to people who present themselves as homeless. And I would say to anybody who finds himself in this position to do that, not to be sleeping rough. We need to have people come and present themselves homeless at the council and show the demand and the need that there is for there for us to get the resources to put in place emergency accommodation, because one or two night B&Bs for someone who's homeless is not the answer. It needs to be better than that. And I'm concerned, and I have raised the concerns this last number of weeks, because a number of people who are currently on a receipt of homeless vouchers are being advised that they're going to be stopped. And there's a battle going on between council, the department, and how much they're allowed to actually allocate.
A Donegal deputy is calling for Ireland's triple lock system to be retained in order to protect Irish neutrality. As the Taoiseach moves to introduce legislation that would remove the need for UN approval for the deployment of defence forces overseas, Deputy Thomas Pringle argues that this move does not reflect the views of Irish people. He claims assurances given regarding the preservation of neutrality are unreliable. Deputy Pringle says Ireland has a very important role to play in being a neutral country.
A country the size of Ireland isn't going to be military might and isn't going to be ruling the world militarily, but we can play a very important role in actually being a neutral voice, and especially a role of linkage, I think, between the powerful countries of the European Union, like France and Germany and stuff like that there, and the countries of the Third World that are suffering from the military expeditions, you know, and we can provide that linkage and that voice and bring that voice to the table. And I think that's very important, and it's something that we should be very proud of, that we can do this. And also, I think the role that our own army plays abroad in terms of peacekeeping and stuff like that there, that as well as given force by our neutrality, not by the fact that we're going to be involved in military expeditions. And that's very important, and it's very important for the safety of our soldiers as well, I believe. And it's something that we... Rightly, the Irish people are very proud of it, but it seems that the politicians of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and the Green Party aren't proud of it, and they want to kowtow to Europe and get rid of it to facilitate European ambitions.
West Tyrone SDLP have unanimously supported a motion to nominate Claire Hannah as the party's new leader. Foyle MP Colm Eastwood last week announced that he was stepping down from the role after 9 years. West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan says he believes Claire Hannah is the right person to lead the SDLP. It's hoped a major plan will improve water quality within the next 3 years. The three-year action plan will see billions of euro invested in water infrastructure to improve rivers, lakes and drinking water. The agriculture industry will also have a role to play, with 60 new jobs to help carry out more farm inspections around the use of fertilisers. Chair of the Water Forum, Dr. Matt Crowe, says water is an essential resource which needs to be protected.
Our agricultural industry is heavily dependent on being able to show that water quality is good and is improving, not deteriorating. And there are many, many things that rely on good water quality, including our drinking water that comes out of the taps. So there's a lot to play for here. I think we'll see how it goes, and the Water Forum will be keeping a close eye on the progress of implementation as the months pass.
A meeting between Inishowen Counties and Fáilte Ireland has finally been scheduled for the coming weeks. The need for more investment in the promotion of the peninsula has been raised for months now. Councillor Martin Farn says there are issues that need to be addressed, not least the fact that during August, one of the local promotion agencies ran out of brochures and approached the council asking for money because they didn't have the resources to print new ones. Councillor Farn says it's unacceptable that Inishowen is left out on a limb.
I was actually really following on from comments that were made by Councillor Martin McDermott, and I suppose I'm speaking for all of the councillors, really. I do feel that more needs to be done in relation to promoting Inishowen, the Inishowen Peninsula, which I've said on so many, many occasions is larger than County Louth. It's got a population of 42,000 people, and I feel more should be done by Fáilte Ireland and other organisations. Our businesses here depend so much on tourism during the summer season, and every year they're paying the rates, everything that needs to be paid, they're paying it. And I just feel that enough is not being done and we're not being taken seriously enough, that we're meeting with Fáilte Ireland in the next number of weeks. And I can assure you that a lot of issues which I'm talking about here today and which were brought up at our meeting there on Tuesday will be discussed at that meeting, and it will need to be thrashed out. I suppose one example would be we would have got an email there during the summer, and I think it was IDP who got in touch with us wondering if we had any funds that we could give them to produce more brochures. That shouldn't be the case. You know, the money should be made available to the likes of IDP to go visit in his own Donegal Tourism. Surely to God, they can promote more brochures and put them out there. This shouldn't be happening. And these are some of the things that we will be bringing up with Fáilte Ireland. But this time, I would like them to take our concerns on board and that we can sort this out now during the winter months, and we can, you know, these things will be put in place for next summer again, because we depend so much on tourism here in this peninsula, like other parts of Donegal, and just more needs to be done.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Check out the new Kids Nastics range for young gymnasts at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15, time for the latest sport now with Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We're going to begin with soccer, and Dundalk are in dire need of a result against their former manager, Stephen Kenny, tonight. The Lilywhites prop up the SSE Airtricity Premier Division table ahead of this evening's clash with Kenny's St Patrick's Athletic. Kickoff at Oriel Park is at 7:45. Also at 7:45 this evening, Northern Ireland welcome Luxembourg to Windsor Park in League C of the Nations League, while in League A, Scotland play Poland at Hampden. Jason Malumbi says he and his Republic of Ireland teammates need to add a bit more grit to their game. England are in Dublin on Saturday for the first game in the Nations League and the debut showing of New Ireland boss Hamer Halgrimsson. Malumbi believes they have to make things difficult for their opposition.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. We need to do a bit more and be, you know, play the game a bit better. Where, you know, we need to be a bit more bit nastier, I'd say. You could say, you know, because we're not going to get anything easy. You know, we come from a small country. Do you know what I mean? We need to, and our Irish people pride themselves on, you know, hard work, and that runs deep in our core. Do you know what I mean? For Irish people.
Cole Palmer has been left out of Chelsea squad for the Europa Conference League. Romeo Lavia, Wesley Fofana and Ben Chilwell are other big names not included, while deadline day signing Jadon Sancho, Noni Madueke and Mikhailo Mudryk all feature. Changes to the squad can be made in the knockout rounds should Chelsea get there. In Paralympics, Roisin Nirean will swim for a third medal of the Paris Games this evening. The Limerick teenager was second in her heat of the 100-metre breaststroke SB13, qualifying third fastest overall. That final gets underway just after half past six this evening. In Gaelic Games, the Tyrone Senior Football Championship begins tonight. It is a straight knockout, and the opening first-round fixture sees Ardbeg take on Eden Dork. Throw-in is at 7 o'clock in Dungannon. In golf, Gary Hurley is level par with 7 holes to play of his opening round at the Omega European Masters. England's Matt Wallace opened with a 64 to hold the clubhouse lead on 6 under. In cycling, Urco Berrade became the third Spanish stage winner in 4 days on the Vuelta Espana.
He took today's 18th stage in the Basque Country's Izki Natural Park. There's no change at the top of general classification, with Ben O'Connor holding a 5-second lead over Primož Roglič with 3 stages to go. Corkman Eddie Dunbar moves up one place to 13th on general classification. In tennis, it's women's semi-finals night at the US Open. First up at midnight Irish time, second seed Aryna Sabalenka plays Emma Navarro. They're followed by the meeting of sixth seed Jessica Pegula and Carolina Muchova. In American football, the Kansas City Chiefs start their effort to become the first NFL team to win the Super Bowl 3 years in a row tonight. The defending champions kick off the new season with a home game against the Baltimore Ravens. London will host 3 matches over 3 straight weekends from October the 6th. The first two are at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, with Wembley hosting the other. In horse racing, trainer John Shark Hanlon has seen his licence suspended for 10 months and been hit with a fine of €2,000. An Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board's referrals committee found Hanlon to be grossly negligent. It follows an incident where a deceased horse was removed from his County Kilkenny yard in an open trailer. For the duration of his suspension, Hanlon cannot enter a weighing room, parade ring or any other racecourse area. And finally, on the score this evening, Gavin Cullen joins us for our weekly League of Ireland chat. We look ahead to Finharp's clash with Athlone Town tomorrow night. Letterkenny play their first home game of the season in rugby's Ulster Championship. We'll speak with coach Adam Bratton. While in motorsport, we'll preview the weekend's hill climb event at Knockalla. And Ryan McHugh will reflect on his recent British Championship win in Wales. That's all on the score tonight, just after the 7 o'clock news. Back to you, Michaela.
Thanks, Mark. For weather night, dry and breezy today with sunny spells and highest temperatures of 17 to 20 degrees. The closing headlines this evening: the man who died in a drowning tragedy in Donegal this week has been named locally as Valery Strunhar, a native of Ukraine. Mr. Strunhar, who was in his 60s, got into difficulty at Marmaline on Monday evening. It's been a busy 24 hours for police in Derry and Strabane. Among a string of incidents, saw a man charged with sexual assault following an incident at Alton Galvin Hospital yesterday evening, while a woman has been charged with assaulting police. A Donegal doctor says he would prefer if money spent on initiatives to have people on waiting lists treated in Northern Ireland were invested in Letterkenny University Hospital instead. In its pre-budget submission, the IMO says population growth means pressures on the health service will intensify as well. And waste collectors who discovered a rough sleeper in an industrial bin in Letterkenny earlier this week have been praised for their vigilance. Panda workers found the man asleep as they were doing their collection round on Tuesday morning. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore, and we'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear from Vincent Roddy, the president of the Irish Nature and Hill Farmers Association, about concerns in relation to walking festivals that have been marketed without landowner engagement or access permission being sought. But first, I've been speaking to Shane McHugh, Teagasc advisor in Letterkenny, about a number of important local events coming up in the next week.
Good evening, Chris. Yes, a few very interesting and informative meetings coming up. First of all, I suppose there's 2 Teagasc run sheep information evenings, one taking place in Ardrah in the Ardrah Parochial Hall there on next Tuesday the 10th at 7 p.m. And the next one is in Brocca Mart out there in Clohan on Thursday the 12th at 7 p.m. These 2 events, they're targeted at the sheep farmers in those areas. And it'll be very interesting topics, a lineup of topics coming up, Chris, in it. And it should be something, I suppose, worthwhile for all sheep farmers out there to try and attend. What will be covered at them, I suppose, the topics is the sheep improvement scheme that most farmers are aware of, the 12 euro yo scheme, and the new sheep welfare scheme that was launched this year by the Department of Agriculture, the 8 euro yo scheme. So look, there'll be a lot of information on those schemes, and maybe it's just to get clarity in them, and if farmers want to attend and ask questions and get more information on it. So that's the two, both of them ran by Chagas. There'll be Chagas advisors there to brief farmers on those evenings. Right.
And also to look forward to, there's a new farmer initiative coming down the tracks.
There is indeed. It's Mufford Mart are launching a young suckler farmers initiative. I suppose we've heard over the last number of years the decline in suckler farming in the northwest, in particular Donegal. And it's great to see Mufford Mart taking on such an initiative. So Chagas have teamed up with Mufford Mart, and next Tuesday, the 10th at 7 p.m, they're running a major information evening for farmers, all farmers in the area. And on that evening, we'll have speakers from Irish Farmers Journal. Dan Carsey, a well-known figure in Donegal, will be attending, along with key personnel from ICBF. There'll be Chagas speakers there as well. And suckler farmer Neville Miles will be in attendance and will chair the session on the evening. So, look, I suppose it's something positive for suckler farmers and farmers out there. And what will be covered on the evening will be, first of all, is the launch of the new initiative by the Mart, and also a lot of the new schemes for farmers out there this autumn. That'll be give more information on that to the wider farmer audience.
And that was Shane McHugh, Chagas advisor in Letterkenny. Sweeping changes to EU farm payments could be on the way in the next CAP following the publication of a major new report from Brussels. According to the Irish Farmers Journal, area-based farm payment schemes could be axed if the European Commission adopts the recommendations within the report, which was ordered by Commission President Ursula von der Leyen. The report said that future farm payments should be linked to income and farm viability to better target CAP funds at the farmers who need it most. If implemented, this could see farmers' means tested for EU payments. The report noted small farms, mixed farms, young farmers, and those farming in areas of natural constraint as those most in need of targeted income supports. The report also proposed a temporary just transition fund for farm environmental measures and a well-resourced nature restoration fund, both separate to the CAP budget. The Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association has been making its views known about members of the public coming onto farmers' lands during walking tours and festivals, but without permission from the landowners. It's a national problem, and Donegal is no exception, the INHFA President Vincent Roddy has been telling me more.
It has been happening for some time, but in recent weeks in particular, we had a number of calls to our own office by farmers, quite a race that the first notice they got of anything happening, of any walking tour that on their land, was when they saw it on social media. So clearly that's not something that you can ever accept. We did put out a statement around that and saying, you know, asking that anyone that's organising these walking festivals, before you start to look at doing any of that, the first thing you need to do is make sure you have permission from the landowners concerned. And I think that's a basic requirement, and it kind of frightens us a little bit that some people think, and some of those that's been organising that seem to think that you don't actually need that.
It's not just courtesy. I mean, there's more to it than that. And you know, some of these organisers, they're making quite good money. There's been cases of people, you know, charging maybe 60 up to 90 euro for guided walks through the countryside. And you know, if that's infringing on somebody's land, and they could be suddenly, there's a group of walkers there and you know nothing about it, and they're trampling across your land, so it's just not on.
No, it's not on. And look, as I'd say, it's like if you went into a restaurant or a hotel and you brought your own food and you sat down at the table, you'd be asked to leave fairly quick. So, you know, if people are coming on to private property, and I think we have to recognise this is private property, whether it be commonish land or whether it be privately owned hill land, then the first thing they need to do is to ensure that they are welcomed onto that land, that farmers are okay with that. And look, farmers have been quite accommodating, Chris, around walkers on their land. Some people, some farmers would say we've been too accommodating, and I suppose there's a wider discussion needed around that as well, especially around the issue of dog control and all that. But look, the basic is that you have to ensure that you have permission, and definitely if you're planning to make money on the back of someone else's property, then you need to make sure that you have their permission.
Yeah.
And look, we have since we put out that statement, I know some festivals have come back and actually I think they may even have cancelled, and they've apologised and they've gone back to farmers and sought that permission. But like, look, we shouldn't have to go onto the media to highlight this. You know, that should have happened before it ever went that far.
Well, lessons have hopefully been learned, and at the end of the day, Vincent, a lot of it is just about sitting down and having proper communications channels and working things out.
It is, and I think maybe what it also does do though is the wider issue of public access, Chris. I mean, we need to look at that, and there is this misunderstanding about commonage land, and I think maybe just to have an opportunity to address that. You know, commonage land, a lot of people think, is public land. It's not. Commonage land is land that is owned in common by farmers who have a grazing right on that. So effectively, it is private land, not public. And I think it's important that people fully appreciate that and understand that. And look, people ask sometimes when you look up the hills, you know, how do we know what is what? I think you have to assume that all lands are private, and you should look to get permission and make sure that access is allowed before you start venturing on.
And that was the INHFA President, Vincent Roddy. Finally, the Donegal Cheviot and Cheviot Cross Breeders Group 6th annual show and sale at Balbuffet and Stranorlar Cooperative Livestock Mart is on tomorrow, with the sales starting from 6 p.m. The Milford Sheep Breeders Association show and sale is on Monday, and that's at Milford Mart, show starting at 5 o'clock with the sale from 7 o'clock. Meanwhile, the Ballyshannon Cattle Sales Co-op will have its annual harvest sale on Wednesday next from 7 o'clock. Also, Inner Show and Co-op is holding a plastic collection day at its store in Buncrana tomorrow from 8:30 to 4 p.m. and on Saturday at its Carn Dunna outlet from 8 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon. Meanwhile, the IFA National Farm Forestry Chair, Porrick Stapleton, is encouraging Donegal farmers to enter the RDS Forestry Awards 2025, which aim to recognise and reward farmers that have adopted climate-smart agricultural practices. The deadline for applications is 12 o'clock this coming Monday, September the 9th. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The eviction notices for this Thursday evening, the 5th of September. The death has taken place of John Martin, Keelogs, Ahilly, Buncrana. Remains reposing at his residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15, going to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, Letterkenny. House private, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Funeral Mass can be viewed online at churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Mary Ellen Bonner, Glasgow, formerly of Crickamore, Dunloe. Funeral will take place in Glasgow on Tuesday, September 17th, in Blessed John Dunscota's Parish Church, followed by burial in St Peter's Cemetery, Dalbeth. The death has occurred in Glasgow of Mary Conaghan, née Gallagher, formerly of Ballyballather, Trenta. Mary's remains are reposing at her daughter Mary and Dan McDade's residence at Doonglebe, New Mills, until 10 o'clock tonight, with rosary at 9. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Columbus Church, Glen Swilly, with burial afterwards in the family plot in Garden Cemetery. The funeral Mass can be viewed live on refodiocese.ie. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. And the death has occurred of Henry Blacken, Chubber Keen, Dunloe. Henry's remains are reposing at Midlands Funeral Home with rosary this evening at 8. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St. Cronus Church, Dunloe, with interment afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Dunloe Community Hospital, care of any family member, or Sean Madlin, funeral director. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.